03 subscribers here. So subscribe to them, and then you can get this music here. And you can listen to, let's see, 33 minutes of Darcel McCoy's songs. So right there. All right, because a lot of people ask me, Pastor, where do you get that music from? How do you find different things? And what music are you listening to? And all that kind of stuff. Well, here you go. It's right here, and you can listen to it right here. All right, anyway, OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. Praise the Lord. Brother Andrew has his passport on the way, and we thank God for that. So all that stuff is in place and ready to go. So you, thank you for your prayers for all of that. Just got the second notice of Glasgow, and that money that's so anyway, we have all that going on here, and we're good to go with that. And the Glasgow payment, the second half of that is coming in, and so we'll be paying that off, and that'll be good. And so we're getting everything all set up. We're less than 2 weeks away from flying out. 2 weeks from yesterday, Brother Andrew and I will be flying out, Lord willing, out of Minneapolis. And we'll all be flying. We'll both be flying into Heathrow. And we're looking forward to that. We're getting all the final touches and everything taken care of. Looking forward to all that. So you keep praying for us. And thank you for your prayers and for your giving here. If you're still interested in doing that, or for any of the needs of OPBC or any of that stuff, you can do that right here. PayPal, salvationpreacher@gmail.com. We have Cash App here. We have Apple Pay and all those other things. Okay, so I'm not going to belabor that point, but you do what the Lord leads you to do. And if it's to pray, praise the Lord, because you that have prayed and weren't able to give a dime, God answered your prayers, because I'm here to tell you that he led other people to give that were able to, that were in a position to, and they did give. And the Lord has used you. So I want you to be encouraged by that. You may never be able to give a dime, but you can pray, and God will use your prayers to lead other people to do that. So anyway, I want you to always consider that, and consider that a blessing, that God would allow you to be a part of this. Even if you can't give any money, you can pray. So that is a blessing. And God is answering your prayers. So we are grateful. Now we need you to pray for our families to all get better from this cold stuff, junk virus stuff that's going around. It's nothing major, but it's just a chest cold type thing that folks are having and all that kind of stuff. Then pray also. Let's pray also for the needs of the ministry, and pray also for safety as we travel. Pray the Lord would give us safety as we travel and give us wisdom. I got a hold of Brother Harry. Brother Harry, he came here 5 years ago. He visited here from England. He was a lost man when he visited. He came here, spent a couple weeks here. We showed him the truth. Right after he left here, Harry got saved and got into a good church, got baptized over there, got saved and baptized. Saved first, obviously. Otherwise, he would have just got wet. But then baptized. And then he joined a church over there, a Baptist church over there. And he's preaching over there with the ministry. He's got his car all decked out with Bible verses and everything else. And Harry has taken off Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday when we're over there, and he is gonna spend some time with us in England, and he's gonna show us around. And he knows about everything over there, a lot of things over there, so he's gonna be a blessing to us. So it is a blessing to see, all right? And for him to be a part of. So you pray for Brother Harry, and that. And hopefully I could meet his wife and his children while we're there. Let's see if we can find a way to do that. But anyway, so you pray for that all that goes well, and then obviously we'll be going to Scotland, then Ireland, then off to Italy. And then to Croatia. So, you be in prayer for all those things. And we'll keep praying, amen. It's exciting to see what the Lord is doing, and we hope to have tons of video for you while we're over there. And what we can't get, all that good stuff. So we'll be excited to see what the Lord does with everything, okay? So you keep us in prayer about all that good stuff, and the Lord will truly bless all of our steps and guide us, direct us, and we go through all these places and pray that all the video gets where it needs to go, the website gets up where it needs to. Now, remember, we'll have Rumble, and we'll have all that good stuff. Luke and Lucius are listening from the other garage at my house. Luke Bicey is building a chicken coop, and Lucius is either helping him or talking his head off and helping him. One of the two things is happening. Hopefully, a little bit of both is happening. Hopefully, Luke puts him to work helping him out there, so Lucius can learn how to build some things out there with Luke. So anyway, that's what they're doing right now, and they're having fun listening and all that good stuff. And over there on Rumble, that's where they are at. They're at Rumble. So there's Rumble. There's sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley over there. And then there is YouTube. Got YouTube there over there. We have, let's see, we'll restream here. Thirty-one people on YouTube right now, listening live. So far, it takes a while for people to catch up onto there. Usually, there ends up being about 40 to 50 people on there, unless they release the Kraken. I'm just kidding. The algorithm and let it go to like 50 to 70 without shadow banning it. But which, yeah, well, let's see. So. We hope to have all the video up. We're working on the website right now. Hope to have all the video up. And you'll be able to listen live in different places. And all that good stuff. So we got all that going on. You just keep us in prayer that everything pans out, because things can get awful crazy sometimes with that. We're looking at eSIM cards for our phones. So we have an eSIM card that is used while we're in Europe, and hopefully my phone number can be forwarded. You'll be able to contact me on Instant Messenger, at least those that are on the OPBC chat will be able to contact me on Instant Messenger. But also my wife will be able to get a hold of me. We're going to forward my phone number to that eSIM, which should allow me, or she can call me through Instant Messenger, which she'll be able to do there. I think we'll figure that out anyway. But we'll get that all figured out. And all that fun stuff over the next week and a half before we leave here. We'll get everything organized, situated, figured out, all that good stuff. Yesterday, I preached a message. And I'll show you which message it is. from time to time, people ask me different things. Like, hey, Pastor Cooley, what message would you have somebody listen to who was lost? A clear gospel message. And I used to take them to the gospel, which is able to save your soul, from like 7 years ago. Okay. But I decided that I'm going to start a new series called the Simple Truth Series. And the Simple Truth Series is really what it's going to be is it's going to be in booklet form. Ryan's going to write this out and have booklets to hand out to people. There'll be QR codes on our tracks that will take people to this message right here. And there'll be a spot on our website for that Simple Truth series. And also that gospel message, the Simple Truth. Okay? Now, this one I preached yesterday is 47 minutes long. It's called The Simple Truth About Salvation from the Scriptures. This doesn't have any extra drama in it. It's basically very simple, straightforward gospel message. So if you said, Pastor, which one of your messages should I give a lost person or somebody that I want to see get saved and know the gospel and be clear on it because they're confused about what the gospel is, which message would you give them? And it would be this one. This is the one that I will point you to from now on that would have no extra things in it, wouldn't have me firing off at transgenders or firing off at the homosexuals or firing off at the apostates or firing off at any of those things. It's just a disciplined, straightforward gospel message. This is the one that I would have you take them to. So, if you're looking for a message like that to witness to, or this is the one that we would put on a CD or we would put on a USB stick. It'll be on a QR code on all of our tracks. So it'll be the message that I want people. It'll be the message on YouTube that we like put at the front of our YouTube page. We'll have that in like a video up here that we'll talk about that. Play over and over again. Okay? So, let's see. Hold on, I'm looking at the schedule he's got for me here. Cool. Whoa, really? Well, interesting. That doesn't look too bad, actually. What date is that? Yeah, that sounds about right. Sorry, I'm thinking out loud. Looking at Hari's notes here he just sent me. Hang on a second. Hold on a second. There we go. All right. All right. I have one on my FB now. Okay, that's Teresa. All right, all right, all right. Here we go. Okay. Let's see here. Hold on a second. I'm playing with something here. Give me a second. Give me a break, people, will you? Don't be too hard on an old man like me. All right, let's. Okay. There, now I'm done with that. Yeah, I'm old. Anyway, so. Yeah, I'm not too old. I'm pretty stubborn. Okay, so he'll do that and we'll be fine. All right, exciting times. It really is. Beautiful Alexis, hello. I don't think I know who you are, but you're good to have you on here. Okay, let's see here. Let's say hi to everybody that's on here before we get started, then we'll get started. We got a lot of people on here. We have 47 on here so far. 13 on. On there. On Rumble. See if anybody came over to Sermon Audio. What happened to them? Fell off the planet. Let's see. Yeah, anyway, I don't know what's going on there. Everybody's on the other ones, though. Okay. Right, here we go. 12 or 13 there on Rumble. All right. So we have Pilgrim Lady. We have Jody Hammond. We have Leno Paul. We have Fabian 22, not to be confused with another Fabian or Fabio. Andrea, Kevin P, Betty, Carl Winters. Leno Paul, Mary Teresa, Brandon Swanson. Let's see, who else? Oh, my wife is on here. Gregory Pace, Kieran Wilson, Elijah Morgan, trucking through Louisiana. Where in the world is that? Just kidding. Rachel Marshall, Lori Standring. Becca, Big Whale. Lots of folks on here. Majestic Inspection says, I've been on here for 10 minutes and he hasn't said a thing. Oh. Well, I'm extremely sorry. Well, not really. I'm really not sorry. Okay. Anyway, if you don't like it, you can always fast forward it. If you don't like it, you can always not listen to it. Perfectly fine. Fabian, just start crying. All right, anyway. I know I have a lot of things going on at one time. Really? I could have just not done anything today. I'm that busy. But I decided to do it anyway because I wanted to. Now, anyway. Fabian, hi, Sensible Vintage. Like I told Danielle, everybody's a critic. All right. Bill Johnson. Bill Johnson is going to tell you about a miracle, falsely so-called, that he was a part of. And that he said happened at a meeting that he was at. And if you remember Bethel Redding is like the school of witchcraft. It just absolutely is. It is a school of witchcraft. And what they teach is charismania. And they teach signs and lying wonders. Okay. And unfortunately, people are sucked into this. Do you know that Bethel has millions upon millions of downloads to their music? Hundreds of thousands to millions of downloads to their music? People are following Bethel Redding and those witches. More than you can imagine. Now, here he's going to lie about some toes that grew back like a frog grows legs or something. But anyway, so unfortunately, this is the game they play. Their music goes everywhere.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I just experienced one of the most incredible weeks of my life this last week for quite a few reasons. But one, I was at a great, great church in Springfield, Missouri, and James River Church there. Great, amazing pastors. Just can't speak too high of them. We had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miracles over three nights. But the last one is the one I want.
Like, can you prove that any of these miracles actually happened? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Like, is there any proof? What's the proof that any of these miracles actually took place? You know, what's the proof that any of this even happened in the first place? Nothing. Most charismatics never have any proof of all of their healings. They always have something like, oh, someone's leg was 2 inches longer than the other. Or something like that, and we stretch their leg out, or something like that.
I want to tell you about the last night. By the way, we had a 15-year-old kid praying for someone.
By the way, can you hear in his voice, or can you hear the music playing? The music that is playing during this time period is music to put people in a mood. It's music to stick people in a mood, you know, for them to be able to succumb to whatever spirit is trying to teach them. It is a very seducing spirit. The scriptures warn us of that. Yes, trance. That's right. Oops, wrong one. meant to go to Timothy. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So it's the seducing spirits that lead to the doctrines of devils. The seducing.
For healing, he was colorblind. He only saw black and white, and it was like the lights turned on. Suddenly, he saw all color, just in a moment, which is so cool, so cool.
Yeah, guy was colorblind. He couldn't see anything, and then all of a sudden, he's seen all color, which is obviously something that you can't prove. So everything that they are advertising for, every miracle that they're explaining, is something that can't be proven.
But that evening, there's multiple campuses, and one of the other campuses streaming the meeting. A woman was there who had been shot twice by her husband. Wow. Anybody else glad that Jesus heals the inside as well as the outside? Yeah. And because of it, she had to have three toes amputated. And I happened that evening to be talking about creative miracles that we've seen. And we just began to...
Okay, so he's talking about creative miracles. What he's really talking about is witchcraft. What he's really explaining is magic. It's magic.
To pray just randomly for creative miracles. And specifically things like, you know, missing cartilage and, you know, stuff like that that the Lord would just make new. Organs of the body. I have a friend who was missing a kidney and the Lord recreated a kidney, verified by x-rays, all the stuff.
Right. Okay, stop. Okay. So he's saying that he had a family, or he had a relative or somebody that he knew that had a kidney, was missing a kidney. And God grew him a new kidney. That God just happened to grow them a new kidney. Now remember, this is the same man whose wife died of a grievous disease, I believe it was. His wife just died like 6 months ago of a grievous disease.
So we began to pray into that. And this gal was at one of the other campuses and said, I want my toes back. And so another guy was praying for her. And as I have the statement, took about 30 minutes, but they saw the bone come, wrap in flesh, completely grow out. And by morning, the toenails, everything had formed. She got three brand new toes.
Okay. All right. So what he is trying to pull is that those people were physically watching this. And all of a sudden, this lady's bones began to grow, skin began to form, and new toes were there. Now, I'm going to show you some things about that. Okay? I'm going to show you what's said about what others said about this.
Three brand new toes. Now, I have friends who have seen an amputated or lost foot grow back. working our way up, starting with toes. It's all right. We'll start with toes.
So they're playing the music, and is it this easy to hype these people up? Is it really this easy to hype these people up? Where you come to church, and church becomes, the meeting of the assembly becomes speaking about miracles that are done. So that's what church becomes a part of. That's what the focus of, instead of, notice what isn't the focus. It isn't the preaching of God's word, even though they'll have a little sermonette. It isn't the preaching of God's word. It isn't the focus of the scriptures. It isn't a change of life. It isn't walking in the spirit. It isn't discipleship. It isn't growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it's miracles that have to happen. It's like miracles that need to be done in order for you and I to be able to enjoy what God has given us in this Christian life. We got to see these miracles.
The woman who did the praying, her husband is a medical doctor, and he came and examined, and yep, she's got three brand new toes, so that works. I guess a person with the three new toes would know, but it's also nice to have a doctor come and check things out and say, guess what, this is for real.
I had three toes that were amputated in a terrible accident. I heard the word for creative miracles, and I thought, well, I certainly have a creative miracle that I might need. I need three toes to grow back. The person next to me said, do you want new toes? And I was like, well, sure. All the women got down and they prayed over my foot, and I decided to take my shoe off to see what was happening when he said, let's see the progress or if anything's happened. And when I did, I had to grab the person next to me and say, do you see what I see? And I saw three toes that were forming, and now there's length to them. Tonight, I can stand on my tippy toes. Listen, do you understand? I can stand on tippy toes. No, I couldn't do that because I didn't have toes to tippy on.
Okay. So someone started a page. Someone started a page because they were highly... they were highly skeptical. So they started a page called showmethetoes.com. Showmethetoes.com. And showmethetoes.com is designed to get answers. Okay. So this pastor doesn't want to give answers. You listen to what he says first.
Amazing things are happening. People are being healed online. And this involves a creative miracle. Chrissy Thompson was shot three times in 2015 by her husband and was in a coma for 2 months. Her injuries included the need to have three toes amputated. When Pastor Bill asked if anyone needed a creative miracle, Chrissy responded that she had three toes amputated. Kelly, who serves on the prayer team, told her that the Lord wanted to grow her toes back tonight. So Kelly had her take off her shoe, anointed where each of the toes would be, and began to pray. The skin began to change color. Pretty soon there was a pulse in the foot that she could feel. All of a sudden, Chrissy said, "Are you kidding me?" and they saw the toes begin to grow. Hey, there's more. Several other team members joined in to pray with Kelly. Bone began to form where there was none before. As the ladies prayed for Chrissy, you want to stay standing because, you just move back up here. As the ladies prayed for Chrissy over the next 30 minutes, all three toes grew, and by that point were longer than her pinky toe. Within an hour, nails began to grow on all the toes. This morning, she went to Kelly's husband's, a medical doctor. She went and was examined. She has three toes. So,
hey, well, let's listen to this again.
So I had three toes that were amputated in a terrible accident. I heard the word for creative miracles, and I thought, well, I certainly have a creative miracle that I might need. I need three toes to grow back. The person next to me said, do you want new toes? And I was like, well, sure. All the women got down and they prayed over my foot, and I decided to take my shoe off to see what was happening when he said, let's see the progress or if anything's happened. And when I did, I had to grab the person next to me and say, do you see what I see? And I saw three toes that were forming, and now there's length to them. Tonight, I can stand on my tippy toes. Listen, do you understand? I can stand on tippy toes. No, I couldn't do that because I didn't have toes to tippy on.
Okay, we talked about this. Now, we heard from Bethel here. We heard from Bethel Redding, who said, or, you know, Bill Johnson, who said that, you know, he was there and just a wonderful miracle took place and all these other things. And you ought to believe this, right? Well, then some people are asking, okay, well, let's hear the story. So the pastor, people ask for evidence. They want to see it. Okay, show us. Show us the before and after. Show us. Well, here's the excuse that the pastor decides to use to not prove the miracle.
On the girl, Chrissy, in Joplin, which has been really, really unfortunate. She's had a lot of trauma in her life, and it breaks my heart to see people do that towards her, because her miracle is real. It's genuine.
So in other words, basically, people are asking, well, then show us. If it's real, show us what happened. Show us the move of God. Show us how she had no toes. They were all stubs that were cut off. Now show us the real toes. Now he calls it, let's back up here a little bit, because what he's calling it, he's saying, well, you guys are just mean. You're all just mean to poor Chrissy. Poor Chrissy. Poor Chrissy is a lady that has been through a lot of stuff and trauma in her life, and she doesn't need this hassle. You ought to just believe our signs and lying wonders. You ought to just believe them. And not question us at all. You ought to just believe what we have here. So, basically, this man is trying to skirt the issue. He's trying to get around it. And he's using a psychological tactic to get around it. He's using emotional manipulation. Witchcraft. It's more witchcraft. Jesus, when he healed this man, look what happened here. Turn to John chapter 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither at this man's sin nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? That he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. They asked him, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogues. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they that man that was blind and said unto him, give God praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? This man were not of God, he should do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. So, the miracle, there was no problem. The miracle here was clearly seen by those that knew him before and that knew him after. His own parents didn't even know Jesus healed him, so they had no skin in the game. They just said, My son sees now, and I don't know what happened to him. We don't know what happened. We don't know what happened to him. Totally different than what this man is describing as a miracle. So here we go.
Really, really unfortunate. She's had a lot of trauma in her life, and it breaks my heart to see people do that towards her. Because her miracle is real, it's genuine. People are saying, well, if it's genuine, why aren't you doing anything with it to publicize it? There's a couple of reasons that I want to say to you. First of all, I'm less interested in proving to people what I know God did than I am in protecting sheep who are vulnerable. And I'm going to protect sheep first. That's my first concern, is for her. So, you know, if that bothers you, I'm sorry, but if you're in trouble, my concern's for you too. So I think we have to have that heart. We have to discern what's going to be right, what's going to be appropriate. Debbie is down at the Joplin campus visiting with her and meeting with her and some of the others who are part.
These guys are such charlatans, such fakes, such money-grabbing phonies. And this story is clearly full of deception. That's why the person made the website Show Me the Toes. They want to see the evidence. I don't know who made this website up. But they're asking for truth. They say they're called a truth seeker. I just want to know. You know, if this is real, then show me. So this guy puts it on here, and he's like, you know what? I want to see it. I want to see the evidence for it. I've seen this video before, but I'll show it, Aaron. I believe I've seen this before, the Glory Cloud video by Bethel. So more Bethel signs and lying wonders.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Look at it.
Yeah, look at it.
Yeah, yours is all sparkly.
Yeah, you're
right here.
Yeah.
So as you can see, they have their little glory cloud fake stuff. And just to remind you of who these people are, this is Bill Johnson's daughter-in-law. I believe it's his daughter-in-law. Could be his daughter. I can't remember. Nope. Yeah, this is his daughter-in-law. Okay. This is what she says about the Holy Ghost. So, about the Holy Ghost. Now, just remember, here she is dressed super slutty. Super slutty.
Okay.
And this will kind of probably offend you, but oh well.
And the Holy Spirit to me is like the genie from Aladdin.
I view the Holy Spirit like the genie from Aladdin. And he's blue. Unplanned. Perfect. And he's funny. And he's sneaky. And he's courageous. And he's everywhere. And he's wonderful.
That's who he is to me. And he's funny. And he's sneaky. He's silly. He's wonderful. And I view him like the genie from Aladdin. I don't know where in my life that just kind of like came up. Maybe when I was like 10. I don't know. But because he's there, you know? And he's the helper. And he's just always supportive and comforting. And he's just fun.
And he's blue.
Ah, okay. Hold on. Good point. Good color.
The woman is bat crazy. But anyway, these people, they have another spirit. Like, who would put up with this for longer than 5 minutes, 5 seconds, really, if you were in that church and if you were going to a meeting where a woman is talking like this, right? And it's a part of her talk to you. Right? Let's see. I think here's another one. Heidi Baker. Same thing.
Prophesy over it 10 times. Say more, Lord. Whoa! More, Lord. Everybody, place that anointing, that crown, that gift upon someone else's head. Keep praying. Every single one of you, impartation, legacy, 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 increase your glory. More, Lord. Try it again, try it again, try it again, try it again. More, Lord. Fire. There's fire. Place it on their heads. Find somebody. I think he's got it. Shake up, Abba. Fire. Place it on another one's head. Fire. Shh. Legacy. Legacy. The greatest thing you've ever seen in your life. Prophesy over them 10 times. Start to prophesy over it 10 times. What I've seen, let it be. 10 times what I've seen, let it be. 10 times what I've seen, let it be. Believe for it 10 times. How much legacy do you want? 10 times. 10 times. 10 times. More, Lord. ancient ruins. You'll restore the places long.
So the question you have to ask yourself is, what in the world is this woman even talking about? What is she even talking about? Nothing. She's not talking about anything. She just rambles along. She isn't talking about anything. First of all, she's not even supposed to be doing what she's doing because she has no authority to do it. There is zero authority for a woman to stand up in a mixed assembly of men and women and do that. She has no authority. But she does it as if she has authority. And they all have this weird, seducing spirit about them. This guy, these people, they get into some really weird things. Their ways of encountering God is not the scriptural way that you see encountering God. There is absolutely no authority to do what they do. It's actually very, yeah, it's flirty, it's sensual, it's seducing. And it's done on purpose. Here's another false prophet. Shepherd Bushiri is a Malawian-born charismatic preacher and businessman who arose to fame in the early 2010s for his prophetic and healing ministry. He is the founder and leader of the Enlightened Christian Gathering Church, which has branches across Africa and worldwide. In 2015, Bushiri launched his own TV channel, Prophetic Channel, which broadcasts his sermons and teachings to millions of worldwide viewers. He has also written several books, including Healing in His Wings and Prayer of Jehu. He epitomizes the worst excess of the charismatic movement. Fleecing the flock, he is one of the wealthiest pastors in the world, with an estimated 150 to 300 million net income. He bought his six-year-old daughter a $400,000 Maserati for her fourth birthday. He was arrested on fraud and money laundering charges in South Africa. Here is him convincing poor African people and others that he can walk on air. It again, in case you just missed it. and you really feel sorry for the people that are poor, people that are poor that give towards these people, not for them to preach the gospel, not for them to tell people how to be saved, but for them to make money. You could simply type in from these charismatics, let's type in Bethel. Let's see. To prove they're witches. I mean, it's...
I think sometimes we are locked in a prison of unforgiveness because our bodies are mad at us. Or we are mad at our bodies. How many bodies are screaming at us all the time? It's called...
Okay, this is why women should not talk in this fashion. This is why women should not... Let me just pause that for a second. This is why women should not speak in an authoritative fashion for the Lord in preaching the Bible. Most of the heresy, most of the false prophets, most of that stuff happened to be women for the most part. The ones that support it happen to be women. Hang on one second. Most of them happen to be women. Plain and simple. The Bible warns about that. That's why the entire Pentecostal movement, the entire Pentecostal movement is based on falsehood. It has no authority to even exist. This is why the entire Seventh-day Adventist movement has no authority to exist. This makes Pentecostal women mad when you say things like that, but it's true. It's built on a woman, the entire thing is. The entire movement is. It has no authority to exist. The Seventh-day Adventist movement today has no authority to exist. No biblical authority. If you asked me if I was a Pentecostal, what would I do? I would repent. That's what I would do.
It's called pain. It's called sickness. It's called disease. So close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit. Is my body mad at me? If you heard yes, stand up. Whoa.
Huh?
I have seen so many people healed when they've been prayed for and prayed for and prayed for when they release this prayer. And I know it sounds weird, but just do this. Say, body, I ask you to forgive me. Whoa.
So I have a question for you. How could anybody be so stupid as to repeat something that someone wants them to repeat like that. Why would anyone repeat after this woman? Now, if I stood up in the assembly and I said, we're all going to read John 4:17. So could you follow me along as I read John 4:17? Well, of course, no one in the church is going to have a problem with that. Right? Why would they? They wouldn't. But if I said something along the lines of, just repeat after me, why would I want anybody to do that? First of all this is a spell. You're praying to your body. Why would I pray to my body?
Body, I ask you to forgive me. Whoa, for any way I have mistreated you, for any way I have let you down, ignored you, and made you scream louder, I say to the just buck up spirit.
The only thing that I can say is, what kind of men with any testosterone floating through their bodies would follow this short-haired dyke that stood up in front of them and asked that, but who would show up to this? First of all, I want to ask you men that ever listen to a woman preach, why would you ever listen to a woman preach to you? Why would you ever do that? What would be the reason that you would ever show up to a church with a female preacher? What man that has any testosterone, that has any manhood, that has any leadership would do that? What man would? I'm going to ask you men that maybe listen or whatever. Maybe there's somebody that'll listen. What man would ever listen to a woman preach? What man would ever do that? I don't know what man would ever do that. I just don't. Except that guy. That guy. That guy? Yeah. That guy would show up. Nobody else will show up, but that guy. That guy is definitely going to be there. That guy. Right? That guy. Showing up, man. His wife stole his manhood a long time ago. She won't give it back. All his permissions, all his leadership, anything that he had to do, that guy. That guy. He's got nothing, man. Excuse me. All right. Here we go.
Hear it. Whoa, yeah. I'm done partnering with you. You have harmed my body, and I command you off of me. Yeah, body, will you forgive me? How many of you heard yes? Yeah, so say body. As you forgive me, let's step out of prison and into the possibilities of healing.
How can anyone at all believe such stupidity? How could you? It just makes you wonder, how in the world could anyone follow that? But it's Bethel. It's not just Bethel. It's that church that Bill went to. I don't know if you remember this. I talked about this years ago, long time ago, a couple years back. Man, I wonder if that video is still on there. I wonder if it is. Let's see. Yeah, here it is. I want you to see this. We're going down a Bethel memory lane here of apostasy. So you can see that I'm just not picking on one thing here. Hang on a second. Sorry, it's you can read though, so that's good. You can. Here's what he says: that Jesus did for him. Boy, is it crazy!
I had a pastor say some things that hurt me really bad. Hurt me so bad, messed me up.
Man. Why are all these guys the fruitiest, tootiest people you have ever seen in your life? I'll tell you why. Because they have an effeminate spirit. That's why. The women run them. They are little Ahabs. The women run around and run them.
Emotionally, mentally, really messed me up. Nothing physical, nothing like that. A pastor I really respected said some words and hurt me so bad.
Did he say that you look like a Fruit Loop and you ought to act like a man? Because, I mean, if he said that, maybe you needed to hear that. Maybe you needed to hear that. Because if you were in front of me and you acted like that, that's probably what I would say. I would probably say, look, man, you're acting like you got some sugar in your tank, bro. You need to knock that off right now. You need to start acting like a man. You need to start talking like a man. You need to start acting like a man. You need to stop acting fruity. But maybe he didn't say that. Maybe it was something.
And one time I was laying on the floor. Actually, it was in this room. I'm laying on the floor. And in a vision, in an encounter with God, Jesus picks me up and holds me so close that I can't see anything. And he holds me so close. And Jesus starts to weep. And he says, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I said, what are you talking about?
Okay. Now I'm going to rewind that for just special effects purposes here so you can just, oops, not that. Right about
messed
that.
Messed me up.
Okay. But because I want you to think about this for a second. Here's more of their damnable heresies. But he's in a vision, and Jesus grabs him in a vision and is like holding him and all that kind of stuff. Does anyone really believe this, first of all? Well, I believe that it was a seducing spirit and doctrine of devil. And I believe the Jesus that he worships did do that.
Emotionally, mentally, really messed me up. Nothing physical, nothing like that. A pastor I really respected said some words and hurt me so bad. And one time I was laying on the floor, actually it was in this room. I'm laying on the floor, and in a vision, in an encounter with God, in a vision, Jesus picks me up and holds me so close.
I got a question for you. How does he know it was Jesus? How does he know it was an encounter with God? What does he verify that with? Is it the scriptures? Because if I need comfort, okay, if that's what I need, the Holy Ghost is a comforter. And by the way, the word comfort is 66 times. Where am I supposed to get my comfort? The King James Bible. 66 times. There's comfort in every book of this Bible. Here's my comfort. Here's where I find it, in the 66 books that are in the King James Bible. I don't look for it anywhere else. I look for it there. Let me show you what the Bible says about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Are you ready? Are you paying attention? I'm going to teach you some Bible here. Pay attention. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Pay attention. Hey, there's 64 people on here today. What a miracle. Praise the Lord. And there's 20 over on there. Over on Rumble. And 25 total over on the other one. What a miracle. Now that's a miracle. Let me tell you. Here it is. 66 books of the Bible, right? There's your comfort. What does he say here? Every time when Paul addresses people and he's going to point them to God, many times what the Apostle Paul will do is he will call God something after an attribute of what the people need. Do you understand? So look what he says here. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So Paul is saying, hey, if you need comfort, you need the scriptures. You need the King James Bible. You need the Word of God. And the Holy Ghost uses the Word of God to comfort you. God uses his word to speak to you. He works in conjunction with your spirit, his spirit bears witness with our spirit and uses the word of God. Not some vision of Jesus comforting me. It's not where I'm supposed to get comfort from some vision. We don't need visions to comfort us. We need the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. And he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. That's what Jesus said. That's where comfort comes from. And you want the God of all comfort. You don't want some vision. You want the God of the Bible.
Close that I can't see anything. And he holds me so close. And Jesus starts to weep. And he says, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I said, what are you talking about? Please forgive you. He said, when that pastor hurt you, it's as if I hurt you. Because he's a member of my body. Please forgive me.
Did you hear that? Here's another one. Remember this one? Let's not forget about this one.
Jenna Winston, I want to play a clip for you. I want to play a clip for you tonight. This is Jenna Winston. She is an ordained pastor at Bethel Church in Redding, California, under Bill Johnson, Chris Valiton, those guys. Now, this woman is a woman who is giving her testimony. And according to her testimony, she, from a very young age, says that she was able to see things. Like with her eyes, she can visually see the spirit realm. So she calls herself a seer, a prophet of some sort. She says she's been given her testimony. She says that when she was a kid, her and her family went to church, but she did not know God. Streets.
I'm just gonna fast forward this here, so you don't have to
burned all the bridges
this
with her kids and her family, and just as a into what she's fixing to say here. And now she's getting into part of her testimony of how she was quote unquote delivered from this life of being given to her mental illness and her drug addiction. All right. So as of right now, she's in a psych ward and, not this moment, but in this point in her testimony, she's in a psych ward and she's fixing to tell you what happened while she was in that psych ward. And, we're going to play that real quick, and then I'm going to talk about it for a minute afterwards. But hold your laugh until afterwards, because it's pretty wild, and you'll see what I'm saying here. So I'm going to pick it up at this point.
Not long after I got there, I ended up having this encounter. Well, no. I ended up having what I now know to be natural deliverance. Okay. So much Jesus was going in. And all of a sudden to me, it felt like I got connected to all of this rage and I started screaming and yelling and cussing and throwing stuff. And now I know it was actually the demons leaving. Yeah. And after that happened, I literally, I've never experienced anything like it. I was spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically exhausted, like nothing left in me. And I passed out on my bed And that is when Jesus became real for me, because Jesus walked in there and laid in that bed with me and started to play with my hair. And instead of telling me all the things I needed to fix, he said, I am so sorry for all the things that happened to you that made you not want to feel. And if you trust me.
Okay, let me just back up for a minute in case you missed it. Let me play it one more time.
Physically exhausted, like nothing left in me. And I passed out on my bed. And that is when Jesus became real for me, because Jesus walked in there and laid in that bed with me and started to play with my hair. And instead of telling me all the things I needed to fix.
Now, let me ask you a question. Why in the world wouldn't anyone explain to this woman that that's a devil that did that? That's not Jesus. Jesus doesn't. First of all, Jesus doesn't appear to men any longer. The last person that had Jesus appear to them was the Apostle Paul. Let me show you what the scripture says. First Corinthians 15, verse number 5, or verse number 4, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, Paul says, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. That's the last person to see Jesus on this earth. Because the canon was closed, and Paul said, last of all, he was seen of me. Now, we realize that that John would have seen him on the Isle of Patmos, but John is one of the apostles. Paul was the last one to see Jesus. So when somebody tells you they saw Jesus, a vision of Jesus, they're not telling you the truth. Or they're deceived. Because
into
that's not Jesus. That's not. And how do we know that? Because of what the Bible says. We believe what the scriptures tell us. Right? We don't believe other things that we hear from people who say they had a vision of Jesus, or they saw Jesus, that Jesus came to them. No. So, here's another one. Bethel.
And girls, I'm just going to say this to you. Guys are stimulated sexually through the eyes, women through the touch. Like, not me, whatever, you're a freak. So I'm saying, listen, if it's not for sale, girls, don't advertise. Okay? So, you know, if you're doing this. I just want to say, you know what? If you fish with shark bait, you're going to catch sharks. And if you caught them because of your big boobs or your big butt, remember there's always.
Man, this guy, I didn't even know this clip had this in it. It's so crass. So he says this right in front of them. I'm not going to finish playing the clip because he's a stinking pervert. But this is a pastor on stage. This is the charismatic spirit. This is who it is. Who they are. This is talking to a room full of men and women and young people. that I'm even ashamed that I played because I didn't even know it was in there.
What is the difference?
Remember this one? Remember this one? There's enough evidence with all of these witches to prove that Bethel is a witch's coven. I mean, there's other words that can be used. I mean, the Bible uses those words. Breast. The Bible uses other words. But those men are, they don't care. That's just kind of who they are.
Between a psychic and a prophet.
The team they're playing for.
I think we talked about it yesterday in one session or the day before. We talked about the fact that a psychic's information can be accurate, but it's coming from the wrong spirit. And remember, the reason why the devil knows your future is because he's causing it. And when you go to a psychic, you put yourself in his hands. It's what Eve did when she listened to the devil. And Adam and Eve, you know, God gave the earth to Adam, you know, to man through Adam and Eve. And when Adam and Eve ate the fruit that God told them not to eat, they didn't just disobey God. They obeyed the devil. And when they obeyed the devil, they switched masters. And that's why Jesus had to come as a man. The Son of God had to become the Son of Man so that sons of men could become sons of God. God had to win the earth as a man because he gave the earth to man. So when we go to psychics, we're actually putting ourselves under their care, under their power.
Yeah, like people do to you when they go to you.
The worst thing about it isn't the words they give, because they can be accurate, but you got to remember who's making them accurate.
And I even have a story. When I first got saved and went back to LA, I was like, what's, very innocently, like, what's the difference between me hearing God and a psychic? And so I went to one. I sat down and I had a bunch of people praying, and I actually recorded the session. And I just asked her a series of questions, and I was like, hey, how did you get into this business? And so she started to explain to me some experiences that she started having as a child. Maybe some of you have had them, with dreams and visions. But she didn't have any Christians in her life, or believers. Yeah. I actually want to make the difference, because there are some churches that don't believe in any of that anyways. But
I don't believe in Christians practicing witchcraft like you do. That's correct. We don't. And it's always women with perverted men that are pushing this agenda. And that's Bethel's charismatic movement. And it's not just Bethel, because go to any town you want to right now. The largest churches in America right now, in little towns across Minnesota, right where we live, are charismatic churches.
So anyways, we just said that. So the point is, we sat down and I was talking to her, and she was explaining to me how she got in it, and she had this gifting, and I was listening, and then all of a sudden, the presence of Jesus entered the room. And I became very aware of it, and I was like, oh my gosh. But then I forgot that I was sitting with this spiritually attuned woman. She goes, what is happening? What is that? And I was like, oh, right. Okay. So I was like, okay, well, here's the deal. And I was like, Jesus is here. And so then I start to talk to her, and then I started to prophesy over her.
Again, so she says, Jesus is here. How does she know that's Jesus? When Paul said, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. That was last of all. So, what in the world is going on with that? But see, this is what they believe. Because they're practicing witches.
And I started to say, I don't know what I was saying, but I said something. She broke down crying. And then my spiritual language came out, and I started speaking in tongues over her. And then it ended, and she was like, "What was that language you were speaking?" And I was like, "Well, it's my spiritual language." And I explained to her, and she goes, "I used to have an experience where this bird," because she would have things in the spirit come to her. So this bird would show up and it would speak that language, and it sounded just like that language you were speaking. And every time it showed up, I always wondered if it was Jesus or not.
So I always wondered if the bird was Jesus. You know, I thought maybe, you know, man, that voice over there, me being a psychic and all, that voice over there that I'm hearing right now must be, I always wondered if that was Jesus. So this witch that is supposed to be a, in quotes, Christian witch, is talking to this white magic witch, is prophesying over this black magic witch, and she says, "Hey, you speak of my language. You speak of my language." Are you getting it? Same language. Both witches. I believe it. You guys think she's lying. What she's lying about is she's deceived as to what spirit it is. She's not lying about the experience. She's lying about what spirit it is. She's deceiving and being deceived.
And so then she said... So I had recently listened to Chris Vallotton, a podcast where he talked about helping a psychic out once. And so I literally just quoted him to her, and I go, she has these spirit guides by their names. I'm not going to say them. And, I was like, "Hey, listen, I don't think your guides are going to like anything that I've had to say here today." Right. And she was just like, she was like, "Listen, I've been having some experiences. It's getting really scary." And she's like, "I've been wondering if I should get out of this business, and I've been asking for that. And I feel like you are here for that very reason. I'm quitting." But, yeah. The experience taught me some things where I'm like, the gifts and calls are irrevocable, right? But she didn't know. So, exactly. So, you know what? I just pray for the evangelists. I mean, we are all called to evangelize, but I was like, wow, there are people, she didn't have any idea, and we need to preach the gospel and show them the way. So.
I think there's something on what we're talking about for a minute, so I want to...
But here's the thing. She didn't preach the gospel. She didn't preach the gospel once. She didn't say one time that she preached the gospel. What did she do? She prophesied over her. She laid hands on her. She prophesied in her prayer language to her. But it never says, she never said that she preached the gospel to her. And she's saying, that this is the same spirit. That woman has a gift, and everybody has gift, and some people have the gift of clairvoyancy, or they can see spirits and they talk to them. And what she's saying is, and what they're teaching, this is the school of prophets. This is the witchcraft that Bethel is teaching. Right? This is the witchcraft. This is the glory cloud stuff. This is the stuff that they push there.
You know, it's just signs that make you wonder. And it's really a big deal that we have things we can't explain or understand or control. I've wondered if it's okay for us to run to a corner of a room and stand and watch and take pictures. I think he rather enjoys it. I think he, as long as we don't prostitute it for our glory, as long as we give him glory and celebrate, it feels like children, you know, just discovering him. You know, we don't seek for signs, but we don't ignore them either. It's kind of dumb. If he shows up in a cloud, you go, I don't want to be distracted. I invite all of his distractions. The church has been gathering together for decades around a sermon. Israel camped around the presence. And we've known that there are some dramatic shifts that are going to take place in how we do life, how we do church. The presence of God is the greatest gift we have. And to shut everything else down because of that is absolutely worth it to me. It's the joy of our heart to celebrate him, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that for whatever reason decides to show up. You say, well, why doesn't he show up in a way that he can be visibly recognized? He told Israel, he said, I was in the cloud and I did not let you see any form, because I knew you to be an idolatrous people, and you would create an idol after the image you saw. And so the lack of clarity sometimes is, he's not punishing us, he's just letting us, he's wanting to give us as much as can bless us and promote us without destroying us. And so what's happening tonight,
such garbage,
is the church is camping around the presence. We may not have an idea, a clue what we're doing. And we certainly don't know what to do next.
Right. So basically, he's made it up. They make it all up in their own mind. They make it all up in their own hearts. And they distract and they deceive people. Now, remember this one? This one was extremely sad. Toddler death at Bethel Reading reveals sickness of the charismatic movement. Recently, one of Bethel's songwriters and worship leader, Callie Hellingenthal, this was a few years ago, okay, asked for prayers for her two-year-old daughter after her two-year-old daughter, stopped breathing. Olive Elaine passed away on Saturday, December 14th. The next day, she was asking for prayers to resurrect her daughter. So here's this lady that her daughter dies, her little baby died, and it's very sad and very heartbreaking. But what's even worse is how they handled it. She said this, we're asking for prayer. We believe in Jesus who died and conclusively defeated every grave, holding the keys to resurrection power. We need it for our little Olive Elaine, who stopped breathing yesterday and has been pronounced dead by doctors. We are asking for bold, unified prayers from the global church, whatever that is. There's no such thing as a global church, to stand with us in belief that he will raise this little girl back to life. Her time here is not done, and it is our time to believe boldly and with confidence, wield what King Jesus paid for her to come to life. We are, so this is what she was asking for, okay? The saddest part is that during this mother's grief and sadness, she was asking for prayers to deal with her grief and emotional distress. I could only imagine, he says, being horrific, but that she had been deceived by her cult, that this is what she should be seeking. Sadly and obviously, it did not happen. We don't want to downplay this mother's loss or make it light of it, but I wholeheartedly hold her church accountable for this. Instead of teaching her to think rightly and biblically about this tragic loss, her pastors and her church were encouraging her in idolatrous thoughts. Chris Valentin, second in command at Bethel and the NAR apostle, affirmed Kaylee's idolatrous acts by republishing her request for a resurrection. Please join us as we pray in bold faith for a miracle for our own Callie and Andrew Hellingenthal. They were asking for people to pray that Jesus would raise her from the dead. Now, Jesus is going to raise that little girl from the dead someday. He is going to raise her body. But her soul went to be with the Lord immediately. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. So the girl's spirit, the girl's soul was already with Jesus. And the Lord's going to raise that body up one day. Perfect. But this shows you the danger in following such false teaching as this. Here's this woman that her pastors aren't teaching her how to deal with death, how to comfort her with the scriptures and teach her how to deal with the death of a loved one. A most grievous and horrible, terrible death, you know, to have your little baby die. Okay? I have a 2-year-old. I know what that would kill a piece of me. I understand that. But not accepting death and accepting God's will and after the child is dead is wrong. You know, when David dealt with the loss of his baby, right? Let's see. When David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. David prayed to God. He fasted and he prayed before the die. It says here, David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. So when the child was yet alive, that's what he did. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Because it says here, then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself. When he perceived... But let's look at verse 19. But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was yet alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me and that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. So David, when the child was alive, he asked God to heal the child. God allowed the child to die. So David, his response was, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And he moved on with tears and sorrow and much heartache and pain and suffering. But he dealt with that grief. So you could, I could go on and on and on with Bethel and their false teaching, okay? And they are a cult, and they truly do teach doctrines of devils and deceive people. Again, I'll finish with this. I knew a girl that worked at the local coffee shop, and she went off to Bethel College in Reading. She was already, you know, she was already charismatic leaning or whatever, but she said, I'm going to go get in the ministry, and I'm going to go off to Bethel College in Reading. She went off to Bethel College in Reading, and she was kind of a, she was a pretty sweet kid before she left. When she came back, she was still kind, but when she came back, she was really strange. Had this weird, like, seducing spirit, had this nose ring in, had this weird, like, seducing, flirty spirit about her. And she got that out there. That Bethel Reading is a wicked den of witches. Really is. Okay. So, good warning for us to remember.